Buckmaster with you along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, December 11th, 2015. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We stream our show. That means you don't need to be by a radio. If you're around a computer, anywhere in the world, you can listen to our program at buckmastershow.com or KVOI.com. Our media partners, thank you very much to each and every one of them. TucsonSentinel.com supports the Buckmaster Show, as does Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner also supporting us. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Mr. Kasachek is a Democrat who represents the city's 6th Ward. Joining me in the studio to talk with Councilman Kasachek, Dylan Smith is here. Speaking of TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan is the driving force behind that Tucson online news service. He is the editor,
that's worth.
Editor and publisher and founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Also with us, Mari Herreras. Mari is editor of Tucson Weekly, and both Dylan and Mari, a very top of the afternoon to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Join us at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Our Facebook address is Bill Buckmaster, and we are on Twitter now at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now Councilman Steve Kasachek, known as Steve K. Steve, how are you?
I'm absolutely adequate. How are you guys?
Must be something going around.
Yeah, well,
it's Friday, I think that's what that is.
It's the season, I guess, isn't it? It was a very busy council week for all of you and your colleagues. Your colleagues voted to form a new task force to consider an ordinance mandating that all employers operating in the city of Tucson offer sick leave as a benefit. The vote on that, there was one dissenting vote, and that was you.
Son of a gun. That's never happened before. Yeah, let me tell you, that was a very difficult conversation, and I'll tell you why. Is that all of the advocates who are sitting in the audience are people that I have worked with, continue to work with, and will work with in the days ahead on issues related to trafficking and social justice issues, emerge from center of domestic violence, all of the very important social justice issues that everyone on this council, and I would say the vast majority of the people in this city, embrace and support and want to advance. The fact is, though, that we are going to have to grow our way out of the deficit, a very significant deficit, that 4 days before that council meeting, we were sitting in a council, mayor and council retreat with the city manager talking about our fiscal deficit in fiscal 17, which starts next July, is going to be north of $42 million. It'll jump up to just under $50 million the following fiscal year, and on it goes. And so my sense is that the way to grow that economic base is to, grow the private sector investment in this community. I completely understand the spirit behind what was presented to us. And yet, the reason I said no to forming the task force is because right now, if the message the city of Tucson sends to the private sector is that we have a significant financial issue in front of us, and come and help be a part of the solution by opening your business in the city of Tucson. And oh, by the way, if you do that, we're going to impose more costs on your benefits when you come into this city to open your shop. We all recognize that the cost of benefits, including pensions and health benefits, is our significant problem for the city. Our health care benefits are going up about 8 to 10%. That's $5 to $6 million out of our general fund. That's for the city of Tucson. We're looking at approximately a $53 million public safety pension, setting aside the non-public safety employees. General fund obligation next year, and that's going to jump to north of $80 million the following fiscal year. And so for us to stay to the private sector, that we recognize we have a significant problem with pay and benefits. we're going to share that bliss with you if you come into the city of Tucson. I thought it was the wrong message to send. And that's the reason for the no vote. Does that mean I'm not sensitive to the cohort that we're trying to address, the most vulnerable in our population? Obviously not. I work with them all the time. But I just don't think doing a cram down on the private sector was appropriate. The arguments in favor, it's not just paid sick leave, by the way, it's paid leave time. And so it's for anything that you need time off for, whether it's a mental health day, or if you're a DV victim and you need to go and do counseling, or any number of different very legitimate things. So the message simply was we're gonna form a stakeholder group, and my sense was that because a draft ordinance had been sent out in advance. That had penalties drawn into it for private sector businesses that did not comply, implemented by the city's Department of Economic REEO department. I just didn't want to put the city in the position of being the cop.
Okay, here's Dylan.
Looking at that deficit, $42 million sounds like an enormous pile of money. It is an enormous pile of money for just about all of us. $50 million the next year, even more.
We expect
what sort of a percentage is that of the entire city budget? How difficult of a hole is that going to be to fill?
Well, first of all, we expect the Sentinel to help us fund it.
Absolutely.
We know the week we just went through a buyout, and so we're relying on you, Dylan.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
We will pitch in our fair share.
Okay. The people who would say you have a $1.3 billion budget and therefore that's a small piece are missing the fact that this is a general fund deficit we're talking about, and so it's right around 10% of our general fund. It's significant for a number of reasons, and I'll just do the Reader's Digest version. Number one, it's significant because we're coming out of a recession, and we've already done the furlough thing, and we've already cut over 1,100, 1,200 employees out. We've already sent the message to our city employees, do more with less, which at some point just becomes offensive to the people you're saying that to. And we've done the layoffs, and we haven't filled vacancies, and all of that. And so for us to say, okay, we're going to do another 10% is going to necessarily, unless we find another way out, and I am going to propose one, is going to result in continued reduction of service to the community, and we're beyond that. We have to be beyond that.
What is the other way out?
And so we have a study session. It's growing our economic base, and one of the things that I've been pushing. And are going to continue to push is we just saw a 99-question bond package fail. We can all have our speculate for the reasons as to why that failed. I think one of the reasons is it was just too big a lift, too heavy of a lift for the community. It's $800 million, 99 questions, and when people generally have to sit down for an hour to figure out a question, they're just going to say no to it. I think the single most important item in that whole bond package was the Sonoran Corridor. Sonoran Corridor is the connection of I-19 and I-10 out around Raytheon, out around the Tucson International Airport. Our federal delegation, both the House and the Senate, just approved an item in the federal budget of $600 million to help us with that corridor. The piece in the bond package was a $30 million piece. We have to do 5% of what our federal delegation is going to do if we expect them to carry our water back in D.C. The importance of that corridor is that, number one, Tucson International Airport is making a $200 million capital investment in the airport. That is for tourism. It's for air commerce. The Port of Tucson just recently got a $5 million federal grant for extending their rail spur out to Union Pacific. That is rail cargo. The I-10, I-19 will absolutely improve our ability for international commerce, over-the-road commerce. In addition to that, the Sonoran Corridor issue is going to help with the Raytheon buffer. Raytheon expanded a few years ago, but they did it in Huntsville, Alabama. So because we can make the pitch, if we take this back to the voters in some form, that this will affect air commerce, over-the-road commerce, rail commerce, it'll preserve and protect Raytheon, it'll begin to bring into this community the manufacturing sector jobs, and by the way, by manufacturing, I don't mean we just build something, it means we build a part, and Mexico builds a part, and we trade back and forth over the border. these are the significant jobs that we have to bring into this community. And Mari, you know, and all of you, Dylan and Bill, you also know that I've been thumping the tub, pretty proud about what we've done in the downtown core in the last 6 or 7 years. Those are largely service sector jobs. They're important. They're cool. Downtown has got a great vibe going. But if we're going to turn the economic corner in this community, it's got to be with the high-paying manufacturing sector jobs that are going to occur out on that Sonoran corridor.
All right. It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Mari Hereras will be first up when we come back after the break to talk with Councilman Steve Kasachek. But right now, our 60s bump music, we go back with the Beach Boys, their Christmas album. Thanks a lot to Tom for this one. Go ahead, take it away.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Zoo Lights, presented by BMO Harris Bank at Reed Park Zoo, is guaranteed to put you in the winter spirit with jingle bells, twinkling lights, falling snow, and Santa. Light displays, animal-themed-like sculptures, and thousands of sparkling bulbs are guaranteed to make Zoo Lights be a part of your holiday tradition. Every night from December 4th through the 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. with encore nights December 26th and 27th. $9 for adults, $5 for children with special discounts for zoo members. See reedparkzoo.org for details. Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Gap Ministries and Community Food Bank and make your gift today. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Learn about a rewarding career as a law enforcement officer. Pima Community College's Public Safety and Emergency Services Institute is offering a free information session December 16th at 6 p.m. at PCC's 29th Street Coalition Center, 4355 East Calle Aurora. Each year, PCC graduates hundreds of first responders who go on to work across Arizona. Call 206-3543 or visit pima.edu/PSESI. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Merry Christmas from the Beach Boys, our 60s bump music. Councilman Steve Kasachek is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Steve, do you give yourself a Christmas present and not do your daily run on Christmas or Christmas Eve, or do you plow right through?
Not running would be like coal in my stock.
He does it twice on Christmas.
Yeah, twice. She gets it.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
can I close the loop on that? I know I'll be quick on this.
Yeah, please do. But Mari hasn't asked a question yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, she asked me what she asked me once.
All right.
I get it. I'll be quick.
Okay.
Snoring Corridor. So December 15th is our next study session. For the last 3 years plus, I've been saying that the City Council and the Board of Supervisors ought to at least have periodic joint meetings, that we have plenty of common issues, whether it's water or, you know, regional growth, whatever it is, that we ought to be meeting. We can easily set up an agenda. I have invited the Board of Supervisors Chair, Sharon Bronson, and County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, as well as the head of the RTA, Farhad Magimi, to join us at our meeting on the 15th. And the agenda item is throw all the funding options out on the table that we have that are available, not just for the city, but regionally, including the RTA, for how we can get this Sonoran Corridor question back to the voters as a single shot, I hope, but not as a part of an $800 million package. I think the residents of this region are way beyond being tired of seeing the city and the county bickering over things, that, and the perception being that we can't work together. And when they see that, I don't think they take the position, well, the city's right or the county's right. I think they say a pox on all your houses, and they should.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the 15th, Chuck Huckleberry, Sharon Bronson, and Farhad are going to join us at the study session. And I think even if we don't come to a closure on a strategy moving forward with Sonoran Corridor, I think it will be key for the region to see that these two governing bodies are working together finally.
Okay, here's Mari Herrera of the Weekly.
So thinking of economic development, I'm wondering if you can explain maybe how we're going to hire someone who's going to go around town and measure how much cubic space homeless folks are taking up, you know, that 4 cubic space. Have you been
four
able to
feet, yeah.
feed? Yes. Have you been able to chime in on that at all?
I did. I chimed in with a no vote.
And, right.
So what Mari's describing is the new, we used to call it the homeless ordinance, but now we're calling it the sidewalks ordinance. And in a nutshell, the council passed on a 5-2 vote. Karen and I voted against it. An ordinance that basically puts restrictions on how many belongings, how much stuff you can have on a sidewalk. We are under, and first of all, let me say, I took a ration of stuff from a lot of the downtown merchants after that vote, saying you didn't stand up for us. I'm not going to vote for something that, number one, we are still waiting for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to render a decision on that we had to appeal because we lost at the district level here with Judge Beery when we implemented a policy called our 3B policy, bedroll, backpack, and a beverage. And we were saying these are the kinds of things we will allow you to have. What we did is we changed that to say, okay, we won't talk about the kinds of things, we'll talk about the amount of things. Now, what Beery said to us, Judge Beery said to us, was that you did not have to allow the pods and the tents and the couches and all that. And so you kind of threw into the judge's lap the issue of the dream pods. But there's a reasonable position, middle ground that you guys can find. I have consistently asked Mike Rankin, our city attorney, to tell me how you can set a cubic foot limit, unless it's just excessively high, which I mean ridiculously high. You can set a cubic foot limit that will not necessarily have the impact of addressing somebody based on their status, and that somebody is a homeless person. None of the four of us, you, me and you three, are going to be caught in the pickle of walking around downtown with 4 or 5 cubic feet worth of stuff, because our stuff is in our homes. Mm-hmm. And so by definition, my point to Rankin has been that the necessary implication of our implementing that ordinance is that we are putting an ordinance in place that will have the impact on only a homeless person. And he hasn't been able to answer that, and I took the position that I'm not going to support an ordinance that's going to preposition us to be sued, number one. And number two, I'm not sure that it's even fair. Mari's point is are you going to now send cops around, police officers around with measuring tapes? And, you know, that's the logical extension of it. But my point is that 4 cubic feet, 5, 3, you know, who's to say? And what we have in the ordinance, setting aside this 4 cubic foot piece, is you've got to leave a 5 foot walkway. Well, if you leave a 5 foot walkway, does it matter if you've got 3 or 5 or 6 cubic feet on the other side of that walkway? And I don't think that question was adequately answered. And so I took the position that until we get direction from the courts, I'm not going to support that.
All right, Matthew has been waiting to speak on our show today. He's called us at 790-2040. Matthew, with Steve Kasachek, please.
Yeah, well, I agree with Steve's no vote on the homeless ordinance, and I think that he and actually Karen are right on track on this one, and that and I would urge the council I know they voted already, but they really made a big mistake walking this issue this way. The second thing is, if you're going to bring in the county, that's wonderful. The only thing I would say is, you know, the group that you really need is you need Marana, you need Sarita, and you need the Foothills, and you got to convince those people. And so I would say that you have to reach out to the leaders in Sarita, and because they have a bigger stake in all of this. A lot of their people work at Raytheon.
All right, thank you, Matthew.
That's it. Thank you.
Go ahead, Steve.
Absolutely fair point. And so here's, and I know we're getting short, so I'll be really brief on this.
Please.
We just put a question in front of Marana, Sarita, Oro Valley, and unincorporated residents that says, we want you to build a velodrome, we want you to expand the Reed Park Zoo, we want you to do all these things that feel good, and they are good. But what their perception was is that we're going to get, out of that $800 million, one-tenth of it, or whatever the number would be. I think we can make a very compelling case to the surrounding jurisdictions if we single-shot this Sonoran Corridor, saying this is regional economic development. It's Raytheon. It's the airport. It's over-the-road transport. It's rail transport. It's all the things I mentioned. And the region grows if we do this one. And it's not costing you $800 million. It's costing you a fraction of that. The burden is on us to make that pitch, and I think we can make a compelling case.
All right. A telescoped answer, please, about the future of golf in this city.
Well, we have 5 courses. I'm not sure that, I am sure only 2 of them are making money on an operating basis. We have hired a management firm that's only had 1 full year to try and bring the program into a profitable position. I don't think it ever will be. I don't think it ever should have been made an enterprise department, but the council did it 8 or 10 years ago. We have to talk about water rates, equalizing those between the courses. We have to give OB Sports a fair chance to succeed, but we can't keep draining the general fund also. OB Sports is recommending that we give them the option of putting in place what's called a dynamic fare system so that they can charge more during busy times of the day and less at other times. I think that's fair. We need to give them the tools to succeed, and then if they don't, then we take other steps. But I think right now it's premature to be pulling the rug out from under them 1 year into their deal.
Dylan Smith is going to also ask for a short answer.
Yeah, we're quickly running out of time here at the bottom of the hour, but the Sonoran Corridor is a pretty long-term economic development prospect. How does that fill our $42 million hole next year?
Well, it's not going to immediately, and so that's why we have to keep doing things like the incentive packages that we have put in place, the GPLETs and the incentives that we're already using in the private sector. So, you know, in terms of balancing the budget next year, we have some strategies in place. One, and I'll just give you one because we're so short on time, public sector budgeting is a shell game. And one of the things that I've been throwing a flag on for the last 6 years is what's called vacancies, the vacancy capacity. Every year at the start of the fiscal year, public sector budgets put in a number of vacancies in each department. And if they don't fill them, come to the end of the year, they know they've got that budget capacity that they can rely on to move around and do things that they want to do. My argument is eliminate the vacancy capacity at the start of the fiscal year, and so it's not a perceived budget that doesn't even exist, and we're going to be doing some of that.
We had Chief Magnus on the program talking to us from Richmond, California. He'll be coming to Tucson. Do you like the chief?
Absolutely supported his selection. He's done some really creative things in a tough environment up there. I think he was the right selection. One of the things that I just mentioned about the budget is vacancies. We have vacancies in the police department. One of the things that Magnus did up in Richmond is he took people out from behind desks who are commissioned officers and put them back out on the street and filled those jobs with non-commissioned personnel at a lower pay rate. That would help the vacancies we have right now out on the street in Tucson and would help our police budget. So, yeah, I totally support the guy.
All right, Steve Kasachek, hope you have a great holiday season. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Same to all three of you. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek with us on The Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview, our Friday Roundtable is coming up next. Mari Hereras and Dylan Smith will stick around. We'll also get an update from our friend Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, on really the big story of the week. Anytime 1,000 people or more are out of work, that is the lead story of the week, usually, and it certainly is in this case. So let's take the break right here. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. Now the Beach Boys.
The Christmas spirit grows with each new day, and it's so close but seems so far away, and yet it comes only once a year. And for you know it's already here. The streets are filled with laughter and so many hearts are gay. Everybody helps to make the spirit bright.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Learn about a rewarding career as a law enforcement officer. Pima Community College's Public Safety and Emergency Services Institute is offering a free information session December 16th at 6 p.m. at PCC's 29th Street Coalition Center, 4355 East Calle Aurora. Each year, PCC graduates hundreds of first responders who go on to work across Arizona. Call 206-3543 or visit pima.edu/PSESI.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Ryan Foster from Better Business Bureau. Do you know a business in Southern Arizona worthy of a BBB Torch Award? Nominations are in three categories: ethics, customer excellence, and good neighbor for community service. We're looking for nominations in each. This is a great opportunity to show what sets your company apart from others in our community. Nominate yourself or a business you love by clicking the button on our homepage at tucson.bbb.org. Deadline to nominate is December 16th. The 2016 Torch Awards will take place on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort. To register to attend, sponsor, or nominate, visit tucson.bbb.org.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our 60s bump music appropriate for the holidays and appropriate for the 60s. The Beach Boys, kind of their Christmas music take here on Buckmaster. It's our Friday roundtable. Mari Hereras is here. She is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. And with us on the live line, another one of our Friday regulars, Dan Scheer. He's the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. And I called Dan last night and I said, help us out with this story. I'd like to hear what you have to say about the Sahrita mine shutdown. It's a huge story, more than 1,000 people being put out of work. Dan, what's the latest on all of this?
Well, we've been talking to a lot of families that have been affected by this. There are actually more than 1,100 jobs that will be lost when it's all over with, and about a third of those are people who live in Green Valley or Sahuarita. So obviously we're concerned about the families first, you know, getting the help they need. I know the One Stop Career Center with Pima County has already stepped in with helping people with unemployment insurance and dusting off their resumes and kind of figuring out what's going on with themselves through all this. I know several people have taken early retirement or other incentives, and the last we heard, 65 people had moved to other Freeport sites. So everything is just really kind of upended. For us as a community, what we're going to be looking at with a focus on the people, because the people are what matter, but this is potentially going to affect housing, retail, schools, pretty much every part of this, because we're a small community. So we're watching this closely, and again, we've been talking to a lot of the families today, and they're scared, and it's really a sad situation.
And this has been something that's been rolling out over the past several months. Really, back in August, they announced 130 layoffs, and most people end up with a 3-month warning under federal law because these layoffs are so large. So this is something that's sort of rolling through all of these months. So these people who were the 450 who were the layoffs that were announced this week will be taking place in a couple of months, giving right. These folks a little bit of time to get ready. But that's a pretty long, drawn-out impact there.
Yeah, you know, when the announcement was made in October that they were going to go to 50% production, they hinted very strongly that they could just close down the whole thing for a while. Now, I come from the Phoenix area where this was not an unusual thing with those mines out to the east there, where, you know, if you're in the mining industry, you are constantly planning for a rainy day. And so now, are they going to weather it? Are they going to wait for the mine to reopen? We've heard absolutely nothing on when that might happen or if it's going to happen, and I'm sure it will, but they are going to keep a skeleton crew there of 250. But even though you expect it when it actually happens, it's pretty jarring. And again, we're going to be watching what are the impacts on our community here directly, you know, besides the fact that we're already seeing families moving out.
And Freeport also announced the closure of the copper mine in Miami, Arizona, north of Tucson?
I'm not up on that, Bill. Yeah. I do not know the answer to that.
That's something they rolled out in October. They announced that they were closing that. There weren't that many people who actually worked at that mine. It was about 160, 180 people. They're still keeping the smelter open there.
Right, exactly. And again, we know people who are up in that area. And again, it's kind of a family, you know, the whole mining thing. And I know a lot of people are pulling together. But we have been hearing from quite a few people this week and just, you know, stunned. And then you got to figure out a game plan here. And I think the first question is, do you want to stay in this area? You know, so again, and the Pima One Stop Center is not only helping those who work with the mines, but also their spouses if they need to go and get into the job market or just kind of, you know, a little bit of hand-holding going on here right now.
Dan, thinking a little bit outside the box, though, how does it work in terms of support in the community for HUD Bay or development projects that were in the works as well? I mean, do you think that those are still going to see the community support they have in the past?
Well, HUD Bay, you know, it's always kind of a mixed bag as far as the community support goes. And they, if they get the two permits they need, would be opening probably, they're saying, in a couple of years. And so the timing actually could be really good for them if copper prices bounce back and all of that. Our question, though, and it's a good question you asked, is what the support that the mining community gives to Sarita in Green Valley in terms of grants, in terms of tax dollars, mm-hmm. you know, for the school districts, things like that. We're actually asking those questions today because, again, small community, big impact. It's great to have a big employer here, but when something like this happens, it's devastating on lots of different levels.
And this is all money that basically comes in from outside the community. It's not a service job where money's just circulating in the community. These jobs are based on money flowing into Southern Arizona.
Absolutely, which makes it a bigger impact.
All right, Dan Scheer, thank you very much. It's a very difficult time. All of this happening at Christmas is never a good time for this, yeah. but then folks do hold back on their spending, and that will impact, I'm sure, your merchants there in Green Valley and Sahuarita.
Absolutely, and it'll be affecting Tucson also.
Yes, it will. Dan Scheer, thank you very much, Dan, and we'll see you next week here on the program. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Dan Scheer is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. He's been a very busy man, kind of shepherding through the coverage in his areas. Of course, it's a huge story for Tucson, but it's, of course, a huge story for Dan's.
Well, that mine literally looms over his community.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Dylan, you wrote about a judge saying no to that Republican case to overturn the city council election. I don't think there were many people who actually had held out much hope that the judge would overturn the election.
There really weren't any grounds to make that case. You know, the Ninth Circuit ruling is a sort of a not exactly under appeal, but the city of Tucson is asking for a rehearing with the full Ninth Circuit with all 11 members instead of the three-judge panel that decided the case that said that our election system was unconstitutional. But that ruling came out after the election. The people who brought that case, who interestingly enough, had the same lawyer that pressed this local case after the election. You know, that lawyer told the Ninth Circuit he wasn't asking for any changes for this election, in fact. But then we had the two of the three losing Republicans sued to try and get themselves declared the winner. And a Pima County Superior Court judge basically said, that's not how that works.
Yeah, I mean, they knew the way the system worked mm-hmm. when they filed their pay documents to run. And to me, that you know, that's
and,
it.
And all the way through, and you know, participated in the election as it was laid out. Took public funds under the city's public matching funds program, and in fact, still took public funds after the election was over, even. So you know, they knew what they were getting into, and judges are always very, very reluctant to get in the middle of what voters have decided. And if you really start looking at the Ninth Circuit decision, there's far more support for that decision for having citywide primaries and mm-hmm. a citywide vote rather than going for ward only.
Mm-hmm.
There's you know, only the most tenuous of a thread in what the Ninth Circuit laid out. It says that we could decide to do that if we wanted to, but that the city charter, the way it's written, says that members of our city council represent the entire city, and that election should be based off of that.
Right.
So will we see ward-only elections on the ballot next year, do you think?
Well, we'll have to see.
Is there a petition drive to kind of get that going?
There's one petition drive for that. We'll have to see how the Ninth Circuit case plays out if they uphold our current system. I think most of the members of the city council now would be in favor of keeping that, although many of them have said that they would support, you know, going to the voters with a number of possible changes to go for all citywide or go to ward only, and if it's upheld, to maybe leave our current choice on the ballot as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, if people within the wards don't like their candidate, then they should campaign against that candidate. I mean, it's, but I don't, we never seem to see that actually fully happen every election season.
Yeah.
A lot of grumbling, but nothing much than that.
Going back to our conversation with Steve Kay, and I know he's very passionate, Mari, about this Sonoran corridor, but you just wonder about whether there'd be, how much sentiment would there be for putting, I mean, he makes a very strong case for it, Dylan and Mari, but how much sentiment would there be of putting another bond issue on a ballot in 2016?
That's going to be difficult. I just don't see that there, but I think the caller was, you know, right on, and you've got to get all these other players to be on the same table, and no one has done a really good job of doing that in the past, and I think that'll be the key. Maybe sending Steve Kay out to Green Valley or Sarita, have a set
Steve
up a table
the,
out there.
The
Safeway.
Emissary for yeah.
the strategy behind the bond package that just got overwhelmingly shot down was sort of, I think, to give everybody something that they would like in it, and that
the kind of the smorgasbord,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. And
it backfired because nobody likes Lutefisk, and there was something in there
something.
For everybody to hate.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody probably
the idea, though, was
each
the
of us could
of
find
that.
Something in there that we didn't like and thought was kind of ridiculous,
right.
And it made for a pretty easy campaign for the no folks.
Right.
Just
to
say,
say
just
no
say
to
no.
Everything.
Say no.
Say no,
say no
to everything.
I know some people who were involved in the Say No campaign who actually were in favor of a good number of the things that were included in those projects, but there were things that they disliked so much that they got behind the just say no to a quote our former first lady.
Well, and it just totally backfired because I think that was the whole point of it, was to offer all these things with the idea that
you'll find something
vote.
In there to
yeah,
love.
Yeah, you'll love it. So vote for it, you know, and obviously that didn't happen.
But
so.
We've seen much more focused bond efforts really garner a great deal of favor.
For the Pima Animal Care Center,
that
new
one,
facility.
The City of Tucson Road Bond.
Right.
And, you know, there were things that have worked in that, and you know, perhaps going to the voters with what amounts to
smaller,
a much smaller thing, you know, $30 million to get you know, several hundred million dollars of federal investment in a road might be something that could actually be
but
sold.
Then will the word federal be another issue altogether?
Well,
there and
could
the no
be.
Campaign folk,
yeah, I mean, if you had put say the road issue and flood control, I would venture to say those two would have passed easily.
Well, and flood control was really set off on its own as an individual question, but went down in flames along with everything else. Yeah.
Well,
that was one of the things that I think a lot of the no folks that I spoke with they actually thought that, well, yeah, we need to do this. This seems to be a no-brainer, flood control. We need to do something. But it was just a social dynamic
in place.
A much easier political campaign for them to make the case to just say no to everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you wonder how much of that just say no will carry over now into the new election year.
I don't know really how organized that effort was, you know, and to really kind of keep something like that going takes a little bit more organization than was behind the no campaign.
Well, maybe it'll make for more interesting this next season, which I think we were all agreeing that's going to be a little more interesting anyway the last season was. So.
Yeah.
All right. Mari Herreras of the Tucson Weekly. Mari, thank you very much. And Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Any big holiday plans for both of you, or are you both going to stay here in town?
I think we're just going to hunker down home, maybe sip on a little bit more of that whiskey that you so kindly gave me. Light a fire in the fireplace.
Turn on the TV and watch the fire.
Flag.
Yeah.
So you said there's a cold snap coming in.
Yes,
right?
There is. Big
so
time.
So we can
cold
you know
snap.
Maybe get the fireplace going and pretend it's winter for a few days.
There you go.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take our break right here on the Buckmaster Show. Matt Russell, he'll tell us what's going on this weekend. Really, only a couple of weekends now before Christmas. Mari and Dylan, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great holiday season.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. What if our future is space? Experience Mars and Beyond at Biosphere 2 every Saturday at our weekly What If special event during December. Growing food on Mars and seeing beyond the solar system are just a few of the adventures you can experience. Come visit the must-see wonder of the world today. Info at biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
All right, I am ready for the weekend. When I hear that music, I really get ready. It means Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and the president and CEO of the award-winning Russell Public Communications. The Weekend Watch is brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a great weekend getaway, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Really, everything going on in historic Silver City in the holiday mode. Be a great road trip over the holidays. So many things to do. You can go antiquing and go hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Visit the famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument just north of Silver City. Many great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge. The full listing of places to stay and the many things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, the man in the red Santa suit, Matt Russell. How are you, Matt?
Well, greetings from Russell Public Communications, Bill, or as we say today, Ugly Sweater Central.
Did you find one in the bottom of the closet?
And let me just say, Bill, that's where it belongs, for the record.
Hey, time for some wine tasting to kick back and really get the weekend going here.
Absolutely. Catavino's Wine Shop and Tasting Room on Alvernon in Fort Lowell. They showcase wines from around the world, Bill, but they're going to be featuring all American wines at their tastings today and Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. Now, you can taste up to 6 wines in the flight for only $10, and if you buy a bottle, they'll knock 20% off the tasting. These delicious wines celebrate American winemakers. Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, remember, no bottle at Catavino's is more than $15, so there really is something for everyone. Check out the tasting at Catavino's this weekend.
Hey, how about the Winter Street Fair? Is it that time again?
It really is, Phil. The winter version of one of the best street fairs in the world is happening this weekend up and down 4th Avenue, which is why I guess it's called the 4th Avenue Street Fair. More than 400 art, craft, and food booths, live music, street performers, everything a must for family fun. Now, among my favorite culinary contributors to this year's event are Brushfire Barbecue and Mutt's Hot Dogs and Sausages, so bring your hunger to the street fair, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. all weekend long.
Get into the holidays at Maynard's Kitchen.
Yeah, the winter season always brings fresh changes to menus across town. And as you said, one of the new winter menus that I love is Maynard's Kitchen. How about some poutine with cheese curds and pan-roasted foie gras to start, followed by a pork schnitzel with spetzel, say that three times fast, with golden raisins and fried capers. These are the warm flavors that we look for this time of year, and we'll be saying, baby, it's cold outside this weekend. Warm up at Maynard's and enjoy this fresh seasonal menu.
And pick up Inside Tucson Business online or the hard copy edition. What's in the column?
Yeah, you know, it's that sweet and tart red fruit that starts to trend this time of year, and we see it on holiday plates and on holiday beverages. Cranberries, you say? No, I'm talking pomegranate. And you can read all about the fascinating uses for this fun winter fruit in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
All right, as we get ready for the holidays, have a great weekend, Matt Russell.
To you and the Buckmaster family. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you very much. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the program's content. On behalf of our terrific team here at KVOI, Tucson's Voice, of course, the owners of Good News Communications, Doug and Mary Martin, our producers, Tom Fairbanks and Ed Alexander, operations manager and producer, Ray Allen, and our ace production guy, Jerry Cross. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a very safe and enjoyable weekend. We'll be back with you Monday afternoon at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show. Till then, have a great weekend.